Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. So we're back from Christmas vacation. We're back in studio and we're set to get busy doing the Lord's work yet again. Well, let me bring on Sister Marie. Let me just bring her on. Hello, my sister. How are you doing? Okay. Let's try that again. Hello, my sister. How are you doing?
Hello? Hello, my sister?
How are you doing today? All right, I don't have any sound. I don't know why I don't have any sound. Don't know what's going on. All right, Sister Marie, call back in, see if I can. There were two numbers there. I clicked on both of them. Let's see if she can call back and we can get this broadcast going. Don't know what's up. But I hope everyone had a wonderful New Year. I hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas holiday with your loved ones. I hope no one got sick. I hope COVID did not visit your home. And I hope and pray that you are all doing well. All right, let's try this again. Hello, my sister. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear. I was scared for a moment. I said, what's going on? What? Wait a minute.
Well, you know, on my end, it kept saying I was on hold. And I was talking. I could hear you fine. I heard the song and everything. But it kept saying I was on hold, and it wouldn't let me. Obviously, it just muted me out. So I don't know. It's not
that's
a good
start. That's weird. That is so weird. But listen, how was your Christmas? How was your New Year's?
Well, it was great. And yours?
Good. We got two puppies. And because of the two puppies, you know, prior to the two puppies coming, my wife told me, go up in the attic and get all the Christmas stuff down, which was a hassle because the woman has so much stuff. You know, me and my son, we're just, our backs are aching from all the stuff we have to bring down. But once the puppies arrived, they were tearing up everything. Mm-hmm. So she says, oh, no, I cannot put anything out this year because these puppies are going to destroy it.
They helped you out, huh?
Right. So I brought all that stuff down for nothing, and then I had to put it all back. So, yeah.
Well, maybe next year. Maybe this
maybe,
year.
maybe. I doubt it. Because she showed me some pictures of some Christmas trees in homes where there are dogs, and the Christmas trees were in a gate because the dogs tear everything up.
Wow.
So the dogs might be a blessing in disguise because it might be the last time I have to bring anything down. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they get over that. They get over that. They're only puppies. So they get over that chewing and tearing up stuff if you train them right.
I hope so. Because,
you're the boss, remember?
Yeah.
You have dominion.
Well, yeah. They chew up any of my stuff, and I'm going to throw them out on their keister. So they better not chew any of my stuff, or out they go.
Yeah.
Out they go.
I've lost a few cords, phone cords, when I got Chico. I had to buy quite a few phone cords. For some reason, he did that at first, but then, you know, he's not doing that anymore.
Oh,
so
that's
I
good.
Think it was just nervousness. don't know.
Yeah. But the dogs are doing fine. They're finally getting trained. And, now instead of making a mess 24 hours a day, they're making a mess 12 hours a day. So,
you're so cute.
It is what it is. Bruno and Benjamin. Bruno and Benjamin.
Yep. They're just so cute. I can see they came home. Those eyes are beautiful on those dogs.
I'm
telling you.
Yeah, sure. Listen, I'm not convinced at all. I would send them back today. If I could, I would send them back today.
Oh, that's terrible.
But
they're terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Bruno starts whelping, he starts at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes from 4:30 to 7 when we take him out. He won't stop.
Right.
And that's 2.5 hours of just making noise. From 4:30 a.m. And my wife said, the good thing is he gets you up for prayer. Well, I didn't need him to be a prayer alarm. But she says that's the good thing. So
yeah, he's telling you he has to go out, too. That's
a
good thing.
Yeah, well, he's not going out till 7. I don't go out until I can see their droppings.
Yeah.
At 6:30, 4:35, it's dark. When I see what you put on the ground, then we go out. Not until then. And thank you for that video of that man who was screaming at that lady for the dog.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
That was incredible. But it was her fault.
Bullhorn.
It was her fault.
Yes.
She knew what she did.
No, I just visualized you with a you in that video.
Yeah.
Somebody, you know, because when you clean it up and it's somebody else's, you know.
Yeah,
showed that to my husband, and I said, you know, my daughter's friend who lets the dog go everywhere in the yard, and he's a big dog,
right.
You need to get one of those. And my husband said, I think that's a good idea. I think I'll do that.
Right. Right.
Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, that lady was to blame for what she did. That was horrible.
Yeah.
That,
yeah, she was letting
it
go on purpose. Right in their yard.
Sure.
You know. Boy, she repented pretty quick, though.
Oh, listen, when that guy was screaming at her, her hand was shaking, and she ran back. And, boy, he was, she didn't know where she put the bag. She was looking for the bag. She was so nervous. Yeah. So how's inflation? How's inflation by you? Sister AJ and I were talking about inflation yesterday. How's inflation by you?
Oh,
are the prices high?
Yes. And you know, we're not right now lacking anything where I'm at, you know, except chips for anything. And my husband took his camera in, the lens of his camera, and to have it looked at the camera shop. And they said, well, you know, this thing has a chip, and, you know, you're going to be waiting quite a while to get it back. And my husband checked the price of another lens like he had. I think he paid like $300 for the lens, that one. They're now $600.
Really?
Yeah. And he said it could be as much as $400 to have it fixed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Terrible.
So then the best thing to do is to buy a new camera. If
well,
that's
what
case,
he's trying to tell me. That's what he's
trying to
convince me.
Right, that's it. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. Buy a new camera. Yeah.
Yeah. See, he does photography all the time on the side. So that, you know, that's not like, oh, we need a new camera. We're going to go out and spend, you know, all this money. I mean, that's something that he enjoys doing. That's what he does.
Right.
And
it's a hobby.
So it's a hobby for him. So,
and
he's had it a long time. We have thousands and thousands of pictures that he's taken, and he's good at it.
So,
and he enjoys it. So what the heck?
Sure.
You know, but still doubled, you know, in price.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see it getting any better, I'm going to be honest.
Yep. Things are getting ugly out there. And President Biden keeps reassuring us that everything's under control. Everything's under control. And, yeah, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, me neither.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Me neither.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of weird. Everything going on is weird.
Yeah. And
I mean,
course,
I've been watching a lot of what's going on. I mean, I spend a lot of time observing a lot of things, and it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. The good thing about COVID, if there's a silver lining, is that many of these churches have been shut down. You know, many of the bad ones. But then that gives the rise to internet churches. And,
exactly.
You know, and
yep.
now they're fleecing people. So.
Yep. For cult leaders out there. There's a lot of cults out there right now. A lot of cults.
Right.
Disguising themselves as Christians.
Yeah.
You know, and I see them forming. You know, all they have to do in today's society is say, I believe in God. You know, I believe in Jesus. And that's all they have to say. That's it. You know?
Right.
People
right.
go in and droves.
Mm-hmm.
They think that,
sure.
you know. So it's crazy. It's really crazy
sure.
what
yep.
we're seeing.
Yep. Yep.
But
And how's your governor acting? Is your governor behaving herself?
She has COVID, so she can't do the state address, but she's really pushing the COVID, you know, pill
right
now.
Right.
You
right.
know, the mandates were stripped from her. And so she gives her authority to the health department, and they're trying to change laws so that the health department becomes the authority of your governor, as your governor. That's a scary thought. Because they want to totally control your health at this point. Not a good thing. That's why maybe in the beginning that Obamacare came out, it was just opening the door for them to have control over your health care, you know, eventually.
Mm-hmm.
That was the door that opened.
Yep. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's just, they are grabbing more power, or at least trying
yes.
to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Gee, my phone keeps freezing. I don't.
Your
are you
phone
still there?
What? Yeah, I'm here.
Freezing. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what's going on with this phone today, but it's all over the place.
Well, we'll continue to do the show. We will continue to do the broadcast.
Well, let's see if I clunk out or anything here. I can't get a screen on I want. I can't, you know.
Right.
Amazing.
We're going to do the best we can, as we always do, and it always works out beautifully.
Yeah, right.
yeah. So let's see.
Excuse me. I'm
no
a little
problem.
Bit of a
God
cough here.
You.
Yeah.
No problem.
It's the old sinus again, but it's not bad. So, I'm looking at my phone, and it's really crazy because it's going wanting to go to video. It's wanting, I've had some real problems with it doing video stuff. You know, and I don't do video on my phone.
Right.
So, So it's been a little weird for me, this whole thing.
Yeah. Well, look at the bright side. Your husband gets a new camera, you get a new phone.
Yeah.
That's how you.
Yeah, really.
That's how you compromise, right? I mean.
A piece of junk, I think.
Yeah.
I think this is a piece of junk phone. So. Anyway, so I can't hit the mute right now at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Strange. Okay, well, crazy phones, crazy days. You know, what can I say? Okay, well, I think today, considering everything, we're going to try to get through this. I'm going to go back to the podcast titled, Why Are You Afraid? And this is by Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker of Just Thinking Ministries. The audio description reads, COVID-19 mask mandates, vaccine passports, inflation, job security. These realities and more have many professing Christians today locked in the throes of fear and anxiety about the future. To be sure, not all fear and anxiety Christians experience is sinful, and yet there are times when the fear and anxiety we feel is, in fact, not keeping with how God would have his people respond. How do we recognize and respond rightly to sinful fear and anxiety? Well, and what's the remedy for overcoming it? Daryl and Virgil consider these crucial questions through the lens of the Word of God. For me, bro, this has been one of the most extensive things on fear that I've ever heard.
Right.
You know.
I agree with
you. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I agree. Of course, I've heard sermons preached on fear, but this is a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This is something else. This isn't a sermon. This is,
you know,
this is a give and take. This is two people talking about it.
Right.
Where in a sermon, you're just talking to a group of people who don't talk back.
Mm-hmm.
So this is different, right? It's a different format. You got two guys who are really good at what they do doing it. And so it's a unique audio. And of course it's also timely because it's addressing like the very issues we were talking about during the show. I asked you, how's inflation in your area, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
those are some of the things, how are gas prices? Are you able to find, stuff that you need when you go into your hardware store? And of course, we look at these things and we say, what is the country coming to? Are we turning into a banana republic?
Right.
And of course, while I have those concerns, I also know God is in charge.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the bottom line. God is in charge. And
I did some research on that fear thing,
right.
And this may not make sense to some people with a computer problem here I had, but the computer would only give me so many scriptures at a time, and I tried to change the amount from 25 to, let's say, 250, because I knew that, the target was 995 scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. I changed the way I went into it. I did exact match on topics when it came to fear that the Bible speaks about. And I have a pretty good idea so far of what's going on. We were looking for 995 scriptures that speak of fear. And I found that 324 of the verses, they use the term fear God. 168 verses.
Repeat that again.
324 verses use the term fear God. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
168 verses refer to fear of man.
Mm-hmm.
145 verses refer to fear of men. 14 verses refer to fear of beasts. 27 verses refer to sudden fear. 49 verses talk about fear of death, and 2 verses pertain to fear of loss. 238 verses speak of no fear. So I haven't identified 28 out of the 995. If
right.
you can come up with a fear as far as an exact match on what you think is fear, a different kind of fear or something I missed here, let me know. But there's only 28 verses not identified here that I couldn't identify. So until
right.
I get my computer to do what I want on there, that's the best I could do. But it gave me a great idea what's going on here. And the top fear talked about was fear God. Because if you don't fear God, I don't think anyone can be saved unless they have some sort of fear of God, you know, because God himself says they have no fear of me. You know, they
mm-hmm.
do whatever they want because they have
right,
no fear
right.
of God. There's no fear of God in their eyes, he says.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
that's essential, I think, for part of coming to the Lord for salvation. Your thought?
Yeah, well, the Bible says in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right?
Correct.
And
correct.
The book of Ecclesiastes says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is
correct.
The whole duty of man.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. You can't be saved
yep.
if you don't reverence God, if you don't fear
that's
God.
Right. That's right.
So, you know, that's...
That is the beginning of wisdom, too, which you call
that's
it.
That's it.
That is.
Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
I mean, think about the people who died in the flood. They
mm-hmm.
didn't fear God, right? So they kept on living
right.
the way they were living. And
yep.
And they didn't heed Noah's warning. And because they didn't fear what was coming and they didn't fear God, they were drowned.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But there was room
right.
in the ark for them. There was room in the ark. But they chose not to fear God.
That's right.
So there you have it.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
Well, I thought it was an interesting survey. I did. I would like to break
right.
it down more than that, but I'm also working on something else that pertains to the end time. You know,
okay.
the scriptures. In the Old Testament. Going
right.
through the Old Testament about the end times. About the, you know, which
mm-hmm.
I think will be interesting. So, you know, there's a lot of work involved in that. But
absolutely.
At least I was able to, you know, break down that the fear of God was the number one thing in there that needs to happen, especially in society today. So,
and
you know.
And it's there by a wide margin.
Yes. Yes. So if you can think of a fear that I missed, I have 28 that I haven't identified yet, what it pertains to as far as fear.
Yeah,
so
I can't
can
think
of
one,
anything,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I even went
think...
with fear of beasts, you know,
right.
which could open the door of, you know, with that, you could talk about is he reef of men as far as beasts,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
right.
he does use terms like that, the Lord.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, but, you know, that's what I found out. Okay, in my zeal here to clean while we were off, I accidentally shredded all my notes from the previous shows.
Okay.
So I went back on the video, and it looked like we may have stopped at 131.15. Is that close?
All right, let me see one.
No,
133.23.
Well, Virgil was making a great point. So we're going to go back to 131.15 if we can.
Okay, sure.
What had just ended there, I went back and listened to it, was Daryl went through the 6 causes of sinful fear
okay.
from the Puritan I don't know this Puritan. You might. John Flavelle? Do you know him? Flavelle?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, John Flavel, yeah.
Okay. He went through sinful fear, and number one was ignorance. And that was intellectual darkness he's talking about. You know, not knowing or considering
right.
God's mighty power
mm-hmm.
and faithfulness.
Right.
He went through guilt was number two, guilty conscience of being a servant
mm-hmm.
of sin.
Right.
You know, our own conscience condemning us. And, you know, a person who views, you know, his enemy through a magnifying glass. I thought that was important. And always thinking the worst case scenario. Unbelief. This is the core. It's a root
right.
of sinful fear. That's weak faith. Confusion. It was explained that there's one event that happens to all, the righteous and the wicked, you know, to the good,
right.
and to the clean and to the unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Ecclesiastes 9:2, he quoted. In moderation, our comforts and conveniences. You know, we haven't learned to love our life less because when you do, there's less fear.
Right.
We're to not love our life unto death, you know? I mean, we're not to worship this world. And one of the important things he said is Paul viewed life as a spectator. I found that interesting. That was a profound statement.
Right.
He viewed this life as being a spectator. He was in it, you know, but he wasn't
mm-hmm.
of it. That's the way I took
right.
that. And another one is Satan, number six. His influence upon our imagination, giving us frightful imagination, not remembering that his influence is by God's permission. Okay? Those were the things that were discussed before we stopped last week. So, like I said, it's so jam-packed with info, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, if you want to go to 131.15, I'm going to try going out and getting my phone back to where I can mute. So I'm going to go out and call back in while you're playing that, okay?
All right. Here it is.
Okay. All right.
The woods, unquote. So again, according to John Flavel in his book, Overcoming Sinful Fear, Triumphing, rather, Over Sinful Fear, those are the six primary causes of sinful fear: ignorance, guilt, unbelief, which he says is really the worst of all, confusion, immoderation, and Satan. Thoughts, Omaha?
And this was a powerful section that you walked through, and I'm going to encourage our listeners to go back through this section. Just mark it. You know, you even stop the recording right here. Go back and mark it. And take down some of what's here. And the reason I want to encourage that is because, as Darrell, as you walk through this particular section, you know how I operate. One of the first things I try to do is I try to take it and use this as a mirror and examine my own heart and life and mind. And I can see that in every area where there's been sinful fear and anxiety, that one or more of these six areas were evidence in my own life, some more than others, right? Whether it was
It's like we've often said on the Just Thinking podcast, Omaha, that the Word of God is both a mirror and a window.
Absolutely.
Okay. Scripture is both a mirror and a window, but it is first a mirror.
Absolutely.
Then a window. It is
Absolutely.
First a mirror for you to see yourself.
Yeah.
Then it's a window to look outwardly and see everything else.
Yeah. So as I look at these, I'm thinking, okay, the areas of ignorance, yep, that's been me. Guilt, absolutely. Unbelief, that's been me at different times. Confusion, immoderation, and even Satan. And my argument with the issue with Satan's influence is, and it is upon the imagination. It's not that he's out there, you know, arranging things in such a way. I'm not that important.
Right.
He's not arranging things in such a way that something happens to me. But I can say that the imaginations of my own mind, and again with the influence of our enemy, has
right.
really created tremendous problems for me, to the degree that you become handcuffed in your bold witness, in your bold proclamation, and what mm-hmm. it is you would want to do on behalf of the Lord. And I would say, man, it is incumbent upon us as believers in Christ who've been commissioned to go out and represent him in a world that's growing ever more dark. We have a responsibility to rid ourselves of anything that encumbers us, of anything mm-hmm. that entangles us, mm-hmm. of anything that ensnares us. So one of the things that you've recognized is that while we've been talking about the issue of sinful fear and anxiety, we've also constantly been pushing the theme of repentance.
Yes.
Of repentance. If you've been paying close attention to what's been happening, whether it's a big section that Darrell reads, he'll land on the page of how important it is for us to repent. And if that's not been the case, I've either circled back and given you a prayer about our own sin and how we can repent of it. Because a lot of what we're experiencing is a direct result of sin in our own lives. And we have to acknowledge where that's the case. And when that's happening, what happens in culture can stir that up to our mind to a degree that we're really paralyzed by what we're seeing and experiencing. And I would argue that many believers are finding themselves in that very same condition. So it's interesting. I agree with Flavel on the 6 points that he makes. You know, you've got to also keep in mind, and I'll get right.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Flavel. I've always pronounced it John Flavel.
Can you hear me?
Corinthians. Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay, because it says contending on hold again. So I want
to
make sure.
I can hear you. I don't know what's
good
going
enough.
On. Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah,
okay.
I can hear you.
All right.
Yeah, so let's look at 2 Corinthians 11:3, which has got to be one of the scriptures that you have. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And Flavel was talking about fear of Satan,
mm-hmm.
okay, which is one of the six. And the brothers here mentioned that sometimes, you know, our fear of Satan is imagined.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other times when our fear of Satan is real. Okay? And
mm-hmm.
let me just read 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me just a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means,
yep.
as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So here we have the Apostle Paul speaking of fearing something, right?
Correct. Yep.
And it's not imagined. It's real, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not something that he's, like these faith preachers who imagine stuff that we know never happened. No, this is a real...
Right.
This is a real fear that
mm-hmm.
the Apostle Paul has.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's just one verse to show that sometimes the fear of Satan is a real thing. Now, of
mm-hmm.
course, we only fear him to a certain extent because we know that God is in control.
Correct.
But that's not to
yep.
say... We don't look. It's like when I preach or teach, one of my fears is that Satan will follow what I do and snatch the
mm-hmm.
word out of people's hearts, because Jesus taught
yep.
that, right? When you preach,
yep.
when here comes the enemy and he takes the word out of people's hearts, that's a legitimate fear, right? Or let's
yep.
say here's another fear. If you're church planting, if you're planting a church in a certain location, what you fear is that once you sow the wheat, the enemy follows behind you and sows tares.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's another legitimate fear.
Right.
And these are healthy fears.
Yes.
And look, and I'll put it this way. I'll put it in the natural. If I plant the garden, one of my fears is that following my initial planting, weeds would come up and choke the plant.
Or animals,
right? And that's why you put an electric fence, so that if the deers try to get near, they get zapped and they run away.
Right.
So, you know, again, those are legitimate fears. Not that you fear to the point where you're scared and now you don't want to do anything because you're just – no. But there are legitimate – look, my daughters, they will tell you, does your father let you go out by yourself? No, he doesn't. Why? I have a fear. Mm-hmm. Now, I know God's in control, but as a father, I'm not letting them walk at night to town.
Right. Right.
Because in 5 minutes, they can be out in the country somewhere screaming, and nobody will hear them.
That's right. That's
See?
Right.
So, again, not that I'm, you know, living in cloistered or I fear it, but there are healthy fears, healthy concerns. Because if you don't have them, you know, you're going to run into trouble.
Back to my notes here with this comment. Keep in mind,
correct.
That Bible was born.
Look at that. I didn't press that button. That's a spooky thing. Things are happening to you and things are happening to me. This is a spooky broadcast.
I know it. My phone is
didn't
just
even
been
press
like
the button
all over the place.
Yeah. So, like I said, Flavel makes a great point, but I would just share that all fear is not paranoia or imagined or, you know, you're scaring yourself. No, some things, like if Paula White came to my little town, I would fear that.
Yeah.
Not because she's anybody, but because of the damage that she can do.
Correct.
See, and that fear is more of a concern than it is that I'm afraid.
Yeah. He put his influence upon our imagination. Like, you know, what he was saying here is frightful imaginations. Like, you can take something and run with it in your mind.
Right.
Fearfully, which is not a good thing. You know,
absolutely.
You can say, okay, I see the end of this. You know, what could happen? You're already at the end. And sometimes these things never come to pass, you know, they don't come to pass, but you're already at the end of this. You've analyzed, and I'm a person that likes to see the bottom line, but when it comes to fear, you can run amok and you could take it right to, you know, you've took it to the worst case scenario. And I think that's, you know, what he was talking about there. Because
you can
sit and meditate on fear. People do that. But, yeah, there are legitimate things. I mean, I wouldn't let my daughter walk down a country road when she was a teenager. No way. On her own. No way.
No, there's no way that's happening. I won't let the three of them go down together. I won't let
Absolutely
all three.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Nope.
And they said, well, we have dogs now. I won't let all five of you, including the two pups. Because the pups lick everybody and they kiss everybody and they're stupid.
Yes, exactly.
Right? So
they aren't in the protective mode yet.
exactly. So that's not happening. That's not happening.
Right. That's common sense, though. You know, there's evil out there. That's common sense. You say you don't let them do certain things. You know, there's things you're aware of. I think awareness is a whole different. You know, you need to be aware of your surroundings. I don't think that's fear. I think you're just aware of what you're walking into. You know.
Correct.
Aware
Excellent
of what's
point.
Going on around you. Okay.
Excellent point. All right.
Nice. Some more than others, right? Whether it was go ahead.
It's like we've often said on the Just Thinking podcast, Omaha, that the word of God is both a mirror and a window.
Absolutely.
Okay? Scripture is both a mirror and a window, but it is first a mirror,
absolutely,
then a window. It
absolutely
is first a mirror for you to see yourself.
Yeah.
Then it's a window to look outwardly and see everything else.
Yeah. So as I look at these, I'm thinking, okay, the areas of ignorance, yep, that's been me. Guilt, absolutely. Unbelief, that's been me at different times. Confusion, immoderation, and even Satan. My argument with the issue with Satan's influences, and it is upon the imagination. It's not that he's out there, you know, arranging things in such a way. I'm not that important.
Right.
He's not arranging things in such a way that something happens to me. But I can say that the imaginations of my own mind, and again, with the influence of our enemy, has
right
really created tremendous problems for me, to the degree that you become handcuffed in your bold witness, in your bold proclamation, and what
mm-hmm
it is you'd want to do on behalf of the Lord. And I would say, man, it is incumbent upon us as believers in Christ who've been commissioned to go out and represent him in a world that's growing ever more dark. We have a responsibility to rid ourselves of anything that encumbers us, of anything
mm-hmm
that entangles us,
mm-hmm,
of anything that ensnares us. So one of the things that you've recognized is that while we've been talking about the issue of sinful fear and anxiety, we've also constantly been pushing the theme of repentance.
Yes,
of repentance. If you've been paying close attention to what's been happening, whether it's a big section that Daryl reads, he'll land on the page of how important it is for us to repent. And if that's not been the case, I've either circled back and given you a prayer about our own sin and how we can repent of it, because a lot of what we're experiencing is a direct result of sin in our own lives, and we have to acknowledge where that's the case. And when that's happening, what happens in culture can stir that up to our mind to a degree that we're really paralyzed by what we're seeing and experiencing. And I would argue that many believers are finding themselves in that very same condition. So it's interesting. I agree with Flavel on the 6 points that he makes. You know, you've got to also keep in mind, and I'll get right back to my notes here with this comment. Keep in mind that Flavel was born in 1627, I believe, and died in 1691. Now contrast that with what you and the listener may be fearing or anxious about. Think about his time frame as he's writing these things, and think about our time frame. I went and looked at a list of the top 10 things that people in our day are actually afraid of. I found an article, Daryl, that looked at the 2020, the top 10 things that people fear. Let me give you a list of what those things are or were.
Go for it, bro.
They were the coronavirus, the election results, racism, CRT in education, the vaccine. And at that time, with regard to the vaccine, they were concerned if we would actually have one by December, as was originally promised. Now it's a whole different set of concerns about the vaccine. They were concerned about death and dying. There's a lot of talk about death and dying. Concerned culturally about issues around Black Lives Matter, about change and transition. Now, if there's anything you can guarantee will be happening, change and transition will indeed happen. But that was what was on the minds of people in 2020 as a top 10. The last thing, last two things, health, and then the final thing, number 10, was divorce and abuse. Divorce and abuse. And a lot of this had to do with people who were living together in close proximity because of, you know, the mandates of the government, and divorce at
right
the time was actually on the rise. And these are just the top 10. As we think about our current cultural context, I want to challenge our listeners to maybe take a notepad, write down the things that you're afraid of or are causing you anxiety, and then go back through the list that you just walked through, Daryl, in your commentary,
mm-hmm,
the six top things that you examined from that book. And that way, we need to ask ourselves a question. In what ways, here's the question we need to ask, in what ways am I responding to this issue that I'm fearful about based upon ignorance, guilt,
mm-hmm,
unbelief, confusion, immoderation, or the devices of the enemy?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question that we
excellent counsel, bro,
have
excellent
to ask
counsel
ourselves. I seriously believe that if we can identify how we are wrongly responding, we can then repent and respond biblically through the lens of faith in God that the scripture prescribes.
That was excellent counsel there, bro. Appreciate that, Omaha. You know, as I reflect on what we've covered thus far in this episode of the Just Thinking.
You want to comment to that point?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, we do need to analyze when we're fearful of something. I do believe that. That's why I went through that list to see the different types. What is the fear that we're dealing with, you know? Paralyzing fear is not a good fear. That's, you know, that could be in the sin side when you're paralyzed by fear. Is there anything you have to say? Walk me through what you think about that.
Well, like you emphasized, we want to be fearful, but we don't want to be paralyzed. If you're paralyzed, then you can't go forward and do what God wants you to do. You know, I look at ministry, right? I look at ministry. If I'm in charge of a flock of sheep, right, and I got, let's say I have 100 people in a little church, and I have fears for this one, and I have fears for that one. And by the word fear, a synonymous word would be concerns. Now, concern becomes fear because sheep are not as like for example, I give my three girls. My three girls are innocent. Their mind is not open to sin in this world. They don't realize that there are really bad people out there.
Yeah.
Why? Because they've been sheltered.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern for my girls becomes fear if at 1 o'clock in the morning they're not home yet.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So concern and fear are very close, but fear escalates when your concerns are confirmed or you have a suspicion that something has happened.
Right.
And if you live in this world and if you're a parent – or a spouse, you know, these are the things you're going to have to wrestle with. The good thing is that God tells us to fear not. In other words, don't take fear to a paralyzing place. Don't allow fear to cripple you mentally. Why? Because you know that God is on the throne. God is in control. So no matter what happens, you know, yes, we can be fearful. I'll give you another example. If I'm out hunting with my friends and we want to cross this lake, let's say the lake looks like it's frozen. But you know what I do? I'll take my axe and I'll keep hitting the ice, right, inch by inch to make sure that there's, you know, it's not fake ice. Because if I go through that ice and me at 200 pounds and hypothermia sets in, I'm done. They're not going to find me till the spring.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so
that's right.
When I'm walking through the woods, fear, you better believe it. Why? Because there's all kinds of things out there. Now, you see, I'm walking through the woods. Now, the reason why I'm walking through the woods is because I fear, yet I don't fear. I say, well, I got to go through the woods if I'm going to get some deer. If I'm going to be afraid of black bear, I'll stay home. So I have a concern about the black bear. I know he's in the woods the same way I'm in the woods, but I need to get meat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going hunting, yet I have a healthy respect for what's around me.
Yes.
It's the same.
A healthy respect.
A healthy respect. See? You listen, you start a church, you don't think the devil's going to show up? Of course he is. Anything you do for Christ is going to draw attention, especially if it's really for Jesus. You're going to draw attention. You have a bullseye on your back. That's
exactly.
A healthy concern.
Yeah.
You ought to, you see, so yeah. I mean, I have, If you have a bumper sticker on your car where everything is Trump, and you have flags all over your house, and everything is Trump 2024, you might have some concerns.
Yes, exactly.
People under the Obama administration that were conservative were persecuted by the IRS.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, we live in a world where there are different factions attacking different factions. So you have
Absolutely.
To be aware of this. You just can't say, well, you know, if God be for me, who can be against me? Or say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Because I've seen stupid people say that. And then they're running, you know, when they got porcupine quills, you know, up the gazoo.
I can tell you a story where that is like that. When we were in Yellowstone, we decided to have lunch, which is never a good idea outdoors in Yellowstone, but we had it in a cooler where the smell, you know, we had the food in a cooler, and we pulled in a place and it was just desolate, you know, with woods around us and everything. And there was the first thing I told my husband, we don't pull in wherever there's garbage outside, you know, like the outdoor garbage cans. But this place had one. And I thought, well, that's okay. And then it had a little outdoor restroom there. outdoor porta potty.
Right.
Outdoor restroom. So I said, okay, we'll sit there. So, you know, we kind of did the sit on the tailgate thing, having lunch, and I decide I have to use their restroom over there, and I go in there, and as I'm in there, I'm reading on the wall, there's a big plaque that says, beware of grizzlies, you are in grizzly area, and there was a picture of how they can camouflage themselves in the bushes. Like, you had to look closely to spot the grizzly in there. And it's like, okay, I tiptoed back. Lunch is over. First of all, we're near the trash, which I said I wouldn't do, you know, off by ourselves in the middle of nowhere with no internet, you know, connection.
Right.
And I said, you know, there's a sign in there. We're kind of in the area that I did not want to go to. So I was aware of once I became aware of a problem, potential problem, and the surroundings, I said, lunch is over. You know, we need to get into an area, you know, where we have more, where we could see further than we could see, because, I mean, the weeds were pretty close. You know, a grizzly could have walked out of there at any time. Now,
Absolutely.
That's not, I mean, I'm not fond of grizzly bears. I can tell you that. They concern me, but, you know, it was the surroundings around. Once we pulled in there, it was against, you know, what I thought going near that dumpster, because I know they like to dumpster dive. But that was one fear, but, you know, when I read that, I thought, okay, now we're in their territory, you know, so I need to be aware of what's going on around us. Now, that was not fear. That was just awareness, I think, you know, of being aware of what was around us and taking the proper precautions. That's, you know, a different kind of fear. So that was not something that paralyzed me, but it got me out of there pretty quick. I can tell you that.
That's it. That's it. Listen. Absolutely. So again, a healthy concern, you know, of some legitimate threat.
Right.
And
in the area.
And that's what you have to, it's not like that minister who said, you know, my God will protect you from the crocodiles, And he tried to cross the river from one side to the other.
I think of that often.
Yeah, he was a McNugget. Right? Right? So
you and I were terrible that night because we tried to get through that story and we could not quit laughing. Either one of us. And that was horrible.
Yeah, that's it. That is unhealthy fear.
Yeah.
So there's healthy fear and there's unhealthy fear. That guy would still be living today if he wasn't that stupid.
Right.
See?
And I know the story with you being in the water baptizing and the people around you hitting the water and you had no idea why they were hitting the water, what was in there. That would have been a healthy fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in India, you know, they asked the baptismal candidate, what's your favorite Bible verse? And he recites it. And what's your favorite hymn? Let's sing it. And they do that for each one before they, and I'm the only one out there. I'm the only one, right? And they're taking their sweet time asking them what's his favorite Bible verse and what's his favorite hymn. And let's sing this hymn. And they're singing it.
Why they're hitting the water.
Right, right. And I'm the only one out there, sure. All right.
Oh,
that's it, you see?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was funny.
Podcast on the very weighty topic of sinful fear and anxiety. I'm truly humble when I pause to consider that our merciful and gracious God has left his people with his word, the Holy Scriptures, which are altogether sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly the point you were making just a second ago, that Scripture is altogether sufficient to help us navigate these waters of sinful fear and anxiety that we might experience in this corrupt world in which we live. But the question we have to answer, as professing believers in Christ, Omaha, is this. Do I believe that for myself?
Right, right, right.
Do I believe that God's word is sufficient to help me navigate through this?
Mm-hmm.
You see, I can help you walk through what the word of God says about how to deal with sinful fear and anxiety, but I can't believe God's word for you.
Right.
You have to believe God's word for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can exhort you to believe the truths of God's word, and to the best of my ability, I've done that on this episode, and yet the fact remains that believing God's word is a decision you have to make in your own mind and heart. I cannot make that decision for you.
Yep.
It's like the man in John chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, who had been ill for 38 years. Jesus asked the man, "Do you wish to get well?" See, perhaps that question resonates with someone who's listening to me right now. Do you wish to get well? Do you truly desire to overcome sinful fear and anxiety in your life? If you're wavering in doubt and uncertainty about whether you can trust God and his word in the particular situation or circumstance in which you're feeling fearful and anxious, I would point you to these encouraging yet very sobering words from the Apostle James in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, in which he gives us a promise, then a warning, then another promise, okay? James writes this in James 1, verses 5 through 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's a promise. Now, here comes the warning. Verse 6, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. Here's the warning. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And let me just interject here. That those words, driven and tossed by the wind, take us back to Matthew 8:26, and the mindset of the disciples as they were panicking, as the boat that they had, that they and Jesus were in, was being driven and tossed by the waves. Okay, that's that picture that James is talking about here. You're being driven and tossed just like a boat in a storm. James continues, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And now comes the second promise. This is a negative promise, if I may put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
For that man ought not to expect to receive anything from the Lord,
mm-hmm.
being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if you come to God doubting, you shouldn't expect God to respond to you. That's not going to happen. You can't be double-minded, Okay, you can't be double-minded. If you are, if that's you, if you fit in any one or more of those six categories of causes of fear that I noted earlier from John Flavel and then that Virgil just gave you excellent biblical counseling on, you need to repent of that. You need to repent of that. Ask God to mortify that within you, okay? Now, let's pair that passage in James 1, verses 5 through 8 with these words from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where we read this, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Now, that one verse brings to our mind again the words of Dr. R.C. Sproul, who said this. R.C. Sproul said this, "There is a difference in believing in God and believing God."
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Hello. R.C. said, "There is a difference in believing in God and believing God." So the writer of Hebrews is saying to us, Omaha, that it's not enough for you and I to merely come to God in the sense that we believe God exists.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
But we must come to God in full expectation that he will graciously meet our needs. That's believing God.
Mm-hmm.
And admittedly, that's not always easy for finite and changeable sinners like us to do. But there's a difference, R.C. Sproul is saying, between believing in God and believing God. Listen to this passage from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. "Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners," note that phrase, many listeners, the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him and such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. And he could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief." He wondered at their unbelief. Now, that word wondered in Mark chapter 6, verse 6, is the Greek verb thumazo, T-H-A-U-M-A-Z-O, thumazo, and means that Jesus wasn't simply puzzled at their unbelief, as if he were curious as to why the people didn't believe he was the Messiah. No, that Greek word thumazo translated means that Jesus was amazed. He was astonished at their unbelief, so much so that he performed no great miracles right there in his own hometown. Now, my point is this. That passage in Mark 6 tells us that Jesus had many listeners, but not many believers. Hello. Jesus had many listeners, but he didn't have many believers. If you're a professing Christian who is listening to this episode of the Just Thinking Podcast, what you must understand is that nothing that I or Virgil have said or will say will do you any good whatsoever in your struggling with sinful fear and anxiety apart from your willingness to believe the word of God for yourself.
That's good.
As the psalmist asks introspectively in Psalm 43, verse 5, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." And if Psalm 43, 5 happens to not be where you are attitudinally speaking right now, then I urge you not to be ashamed to pray as the man did in Mark chapter 9, verse 24. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief."
And that's good counsel. That's good counsel.
All right? So if your mind and heart are not attitudinally in the place where the psalmist wrote in Psalm 43, 5, don't be too proud to pray Mark 9, 24. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." As the great English minister of the 19th century, John Charles Ryle said this in his excellent book, Practical Religion. If you've not read Practical Religion, shame on you. Get a copy, Practical Religion by J.C. Ryle. J.C. Ryle says this in the chapter titled Happiness, quote, "There are degrees of grace and degrees of faith. Those who have the most faith and grace will have the most happiness, but all, more or less, compared to the children of the world, are happy men. Do I say that real true Christians are equally happy at all times? No, not for a moment. All have their ebbs and flows of comfort. Their bodily health is not always the same. Their earthly circumstances are not always the same. The souls of those they love fill them at seasons with special anxiety, and they themselves are sometimes overtaken by a fault and a walk in darkness. They sometimes give way to inconsistencies and besetting sins and lose their sense of pardon. But as a general rule, the true Christian has a deep pool of peace within him, which even at the lowest is never entirely dry. The true Christian is the only happy man because he has sources of happiness entirely independent of this world. He has something which cannot be affected by sickness and by deaths, by private losses and by public calamities. The peace of God which passes all understanding. He has a hope laid up for him in heaven. He has a treasure which moth and rust cannot corrupt. He has a house which can never be taken down. His loving wife may die, and his heart feel torn in two. His darling children may be taken from him, and he may be left alone in this cold world. His earthly plans may be crossed. His health may fail. But all this time, he has a portion which nothing can hurt. He has one friend who never dies. He has possessions beyond the grave of which nothing can deprive him. This is real happiness. Unquote. That was J.C. Ryle from his book, Practical Religion, and the chapter titled Happiness. Omaha thoughts, bro.
Now, that was really good. I concur with what you stated earlier about making sure that in your library is J.C. Ryle's book, The Practical Religion. And it should definitely be on your radar screen. If you haven't read it, it should definitely be in your library for sure. The last quote from Ryle reminds me of the story. It automatically went in my mind to the story of Horatio Spafford. You know this story well, I'm sure.
Yep. We quoted that story in an episode.
Yep. It's the story. Well, I'll retell it here to some degree. It's the story of the lawyer Horatio Spafford, who tragically lost his son to scarlet fever and much of his business during the Chicago fire of 1871. Now, planning to send his wife and his four daughters on a vacation, on a much-needed vacation, he puts them on a boat, on an ocean liner, and sends them across the Atlantic. And unfortunately, the ship is involved in a collision where more than 200 people died, including Horatio Spafford's daughters. Horatio's wife makes it to land and sends word back to him via telegram saying, quote, saved alone, what shall I do, end quote. Mm-hmm. Now, Horatio would get on a boat and travel to his wife. During the trip, we were told that he was actually told, while he was on this trip, the place at which his daughters and hundreds of other people had died. And it was sometime thereafter that he would pen the words to a very familiar song that goes this way. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Next verse. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. Next verse is this. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. The preceding verses would be added toward the end of this writing, but this is a story that we need to be reminded of. And when we sing the great hymns of the church on the Lord's Day, they have rich depth of theology in them. There's a clarity of thought about the nature of who God is and the nature of who we are, and that even in sometimes tragic settings, tragic surroundings, if we but focus on the goodness of God, even in those situations, we can find our way through that process. as a result. What's often not told about this story is that Horatio, after reuniting with his wife, and that they would actually have two more children. Now, this never replaces those who were lost, but allows us to see that even in this tragedy, triumph takes place as the next generation is exposed to the glories of God through the life of this man.
Yeah, I'll never tire of hearing that story.
Yeah,
Omaha, that was really solid. You know, and as you were reading those lyrics, you were reading those words, I couldn't help but think about those.
So what say you, my sister?
Well, there's an amazing story behind the hymns. That's why the hymns are fantastic.
Right.
Amazing Grace.
Absolutely.
It's Well With
Right.
My Soul.
Right.
These are stories. There's a reason. There's a heart in that, you know. There's a tragedy in those songs
right.
that happened, and the Lord brought them through. That's, you know, the amazing part. Yeah, I'd like to go back to just one thing. The difference between believing in God and believing God, that is important. Something he said a while ago. You know,
right.
there's people out there that say that they believe in God, and they even quote the scriptures. But to me, the problem arises when they're not trusting God, but rather they're trusting their own ability to solve a problem. We've all done it, you know. So are they,
right.
they believe in God, but they're not believing God for the problem. You know,
right,
it's like
right.
what Jesus did versus our own works, you know. I think the older you get, the more you realize how little you contribute to anything useful in your own life. You know, it's all about grace and mercy. That eliminates any boasting.
Right.
How
right.
little have we contributed to anything that's ever happened in our life that was positive? You know, we've contributed nothing. We are not saved because of ourselves. We're not healed because of ourselves. You see what I'm saying? That's all grace and mercy. Everything we received
right.
in life, every good thing, has come from the Lord. He drew
yep.
you. He brought you in. I mean, there's nothing that you can say in life that he hasn't done for you, that he hasn't done for you, that you've done for yourself. What say you on that?
Well, like you testified and like the brothers have testified and like the hymn writers have testified, those of us who are born again know God. We believe in him, but we also
mm-hmm.
know him.
Yeah.
And that's the key. Because we can say
yeah.
all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. So
correct.
We put all of our trust in the Lord, like Job. We don't know
mm-hmm.
what's going on. We don't know where these attacks, Job said, I don't know where these attacks are coming from. I don't know why all of this is befalling me in one day. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed
yep.
be the name of the Lord. See, that's the way we have to live, knowing
mm-hmm.
that no matter if the world around us is falling apart, and it is a, see, sometimes the world falls apart and it doesn't affect us. But when the world
right.
is falling apart and it affects you, can you say,
mm-hmm.
the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away? Blessed be the name
right.
of the Lord. And if you know him, you can say that. Now, people who believe in him, when things go bad, they curse God. Oh, you know, I'm mad
mm-hmm.
at God. Well, you don't know
mm-hmm.
him. Because if you knew
right.
him, you would know that all things work together for good.
Correct.
See? So they don't now, again, I believe in God and I know God. Those two things I can,
yep.
you know. But the brothers are spot on. Absolutely.
Another thing he said, the word of God is both, you know, going back a mirror and a window. That's so true, because you cannot be running. Let's say people standing in the pulpit, they've got how many bodyguards next to him, and they're talking about how nothing can harm them. Nothing's
right.
going to come their way.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
How can you do that? They need a mirror. They're preaching that, but they're not doing it. Or they're running away from something, you know, while telling you not to fear. You know,
right.
they're running. This is where the mirror comes in. First, we have to look within ourselves before we can make it a window, you know, to anyone else or to say anything. You know, I couldn't imagine, bro, if I were to sit under your teaching and someone came in and you just took off running and left the congregation there, like, you know, without a word. After just
right.
preaching about having faith in God, trusting God in all your, you know, ways and
right.
all, trusting him for everything. I couldn't imagine that happening. So, but yeah, we have that out there. We have that out
right.
there.
Right, well.
They're leaving
well,
the flock.
About, yeah, think about Kenneth Copeland and Jesse Duplantis saying how they don't like flying in those tubes because there's demons
because,
inside. Well, everybody else is flying
yeah.
in them.
Yes, exactly.
And you can't?
Yep.
And you can't? And,
the flock can fly
and
with the demons, right?
Yeah, and Kenneth Copeland, you know, saying COVID-19, be gone. Hey, there's a
yeah.
new variant, Kenneth. What are you doing about the new variant?
Oh, people
it's
will totally
ridiculous.
Forget what he did. People
yeah,
will forget
yeah.
about it. How do they forget this?
Right.
You know,
and
the
then
things
after,
he said and the... Go
right.
ahead.
And then after that, we had Delta. And after Delta,
mm-hmm.
we've had this Omicron. And you haven't heard a peep from him. A peep.
No.
And Marcus Lamb
no.
died. Marcus Lamb died,
yeah.
another one, you know, binding this and
mm-hmm.
binding that. I tell you.
And Todd White can't preach right now because he has a heart condition.
3 months.
You
the
know,
faith
the healer?
Healer. Yeah. The super
yeah.
faith healer. Yeah.
The leg puller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you ought to pull his hair. You ought to pull his hair.
I hate to see what's living in that. Mine's
oh,
a mess right now, but I would hate to see what's living in it.
Oh, my goodness. There's demons in there. There are demons. Yeah, that's, wow.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, but you see, they're going to make your leg, you know, straighten your legs out and make them the same length. At the same time, he has a heart condition and he can't preach for a
Correct.
Few months.
Correct.
I mean, think about it. The simple thing with the leg trick.
Yep.
You know, he can't do that for 3 months because he has a heart condition. Does that make sense to you? No.
No.
Oh.
No. No.
I don't know. This is crazy. It's
Absolutely.
Crazy.
Absolutely. But, you know, the people out there aren't thinking, right? Are they thinking?
Yeah.
No, they're not thinking. They're not putting two and two together. We're thinking people, and that's why they can't get
yeah.
over. We're thinking
and I'm going
people
to tell
that
you,
we have the Holy Spirit.
One of the things we're seeing the rise of, and I can tell you this for a fact, you're seeing the rise of what they call the crisis actor, and they're out there. And
right.
you can even look, and you can see that they're hiring people. You know, you can find the sites where they're hiring people
mm-hmm,
to create
mm-hmm.
chaos. In every situation,
right.
and people are being paid. So now this is where discernment is going to kick in, because
mm-hmm.
you have to decide, you know, this is why we're doing fear here. You have to decide what is real and what isn't. And you're not
right.
going to get it on the news. You're not going to get it on the internet. You know, this is why following the word of God with fear, you know, understanding what fear is, we need
mm-hmm.
to do that
right
now more than ever, because the people out there, they're lying to you. There's people being
mm-hmm.
paid to tell you certain things out there. You know, it's not a coincidence that our news stations are now on the internet by these personality cults, that even cases out there you know, on the internet, our narrative, the narrative's being driven a certain way.
Mm-hmm,
you see what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? They're everywhere,
right.
And it's all for the greater good of this agenda. So this is why, this is where discernment really needs to kick in of who is who and what's going on. And when you realize that these people are doing this, you need, you know, you have to walk away. No matter how you feel, you have to walk away from it. And you have to be able to acknowledge that, yeah, that's not real, what that person's
mm-hmm.
saying.
Sure.
So,
absolutely.
You know, I've just witnessed a whole batch of this stuff. I watched it lay out. I wanted to watch it lay out to see what they were doing. And it gets to the point that it's ridiculous, you know. But these are actual actors. I mean, they're not A-list actors, but they're hired to create chaos. You have to see that, or to drive a narrative a certain way.
Right, right.
It's as real as anything you'll get. So, you know, you have to think about things as you hear
mm-hmm.
them.
Yep, yep.
So, and not be fearful. Not be fearful if you see where it's going one way or another. This is why in the beginning of this, we started to say, well, that doesn't make any sense. How can it be this? But yet, you know, how can thousands of people have this and all these deaths in the hospitals are empty?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you see a doctor up there saying, yes, a doctor we've never heard of,
right.
You know, telling, oh, I've been working 24/7. They're collapsing on the floor, the doctors. And yet you can go down to your local hospital and the parking lot's empty.
Sure.
You know, so you have to realize that this is a lot of the crisis actors in here. And we might do something on that when we get a chance.
Right, right.
Because, and a lot of people are getting fearful because of the crisis actors, you see?
Mm-hmm.
They're panicked because these people are
right.
doing a good job.
Sure, sure.
But there's a motive
absolutely.
Behind it, and they don't care. They're getting the money. They're getting money.
Right.
They're getting paid big bucks to go in. Remember, we had the news story of the woman in India dying in the street of COVID, and then someone found this woman was dying in another video in a different place of COVID, you know?
Incredible. Incredible.
Right. Isn't that incredible? Same
yeah.
person. I also have seen where a guy was in the hospital and they're talking and he's on a ventilator and everything like that. And I'm not saying these things don't exist. What I'm saying is you have to determine what's real and what isn't in that. Who is the real
right.
guy and who isn't? Because
right, right.
they went back, someone went back and you can trace that he actually has an acting contract. And if
wow.
you went to a different site, you could see him on any given day, you know, giving on YouTube. But he's
wow.
supposed to be in the hospital on a ventilator. No, he's got acting. You know, he's played in this, played in that, maybe a B actor, someone you've never heard of. You know.
Amazing, amazing.
Gone on auditions. You can see lineups, like in England. They have lineups one day. And the next day, no one's there.
Amazing.
Gang, oh, we're so swamped, we can't get the vaccines out fast enough. The next day, no one's there at the same location. It's crazy. It is crazy.
Right.
And that's why we're doing this.
Sure.
That's why we're doing this. You're going to see a lot of craziness. That could cause you to be fearful. It really could.
Yeah, yeah. I so, believe it.
Sorry.
I believe it.
Sorry, I went
I
off on
it.
That, but...
No,
it's
no.
It's a big thing.
No. Sure. Sure.
It's a big thing.
Yeah, they
right
have
now.
All these yeah, we have these little Hollywood productions and
mm-hmm.
the whole goal is to get you to get vaccinated. Right?
Right.
Scaring you to get the vaccine.
And do you ever wonder
that's
why what? These cases end up on Netflix? There's a big movie industry. Half of these productions, if you notice during COVID, these production
mm-hmm.
companies and directors and all that. Look at the credits. You've never heard of these people. MR Productions.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not MGM or, you know.
Yeah.
It's MR Productions. And they're putting real-life drama on television, making Netflix, you know, movies of this. These people are getting rich,
mm-hmm.
you know, with drama.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's all the drama going on.
Yeah.
It's being captured. What is that? The bigger picture. You know, I mean,
people
are so confused if they're up or down right now with these people.
Absolutely.
So, anyway.
Yeah. All right, here's more.
Those words up against some of the shallow, hollow, so-called worship music that many churches have bought into these days.
Yep.
Man, so thanks for sharing that, bro. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Peter gives us this exhortation. He says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation." That was 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 11, and then in verse 15 of that chapter, says this: "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. But we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." Now, to summarize those two passages in 1 Peter 4 and 2 Corinthians 4, the situation or circumstance about which you find yourself being anxious and fearful, provided those situations and circumstances are not merely the, quote, reaping and sowing, unquote, consequences of your own disobedience to God and disregard of his word. And I say that in light of 1 Peter 3:17, "For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing right
mm-hmm.
rather than for doing what is wrong." Without that exception, notwithstanding that, your circumstances are primarily for the purpose of bringing glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Your circumstances are primarily for the purpose of bringing glory to God. Now, to give further biblical perspective on that, I want to quote from the book titled Selections from Spurgeon's Library, in which is included the following from the 18th century Scottish evangelist John Willison. That last name is W-I-L-L-I-S-O-N. John Willison, in chapter 1 of the aforementioned book, Selections from Spurgeon's Library, chapter 1 is titled Directions to God's Children Under Affliction. Directions to God's Children Under Affliction, where John Willison writes this, quote, "If in this world, then, we must look for tribulation, it is highly necessary for every man to seek direction, how to provide for it, and behave under it, so as he may glorify God, edify others, and attain to eternal happiness at last. These heavy trials are all needful for you. Deep waters are not more needful to carry a ship into the haven than great afflictions are to carry the vessels of our souls into the port of bliss. Strong winds and thunder are frightful, but they are necessary to purge the air. Consider that your affliction, however heavy it may be, will soon have an end. The goldsmith will not let his gold lie longer in the furnace than it needs to be purified.
Mm-hmm.
The wicked have a sea of wrath to drink. But, oh, drooping believer, take comfort. You have but a cup of affliction, which will soon be exhausted. Oh, believer, God has taken the ordering of your lot in his own hands, and he knows what is fittest for you. God sends great and sore troubles that you may have the more experience of God's wisdom and mercy in your support and deliverance. It is very ordinary for every man in great distress to reckon his case singular. Now, let me pause here and just paraphrase. What Willison is saying here is that it is our default. It's our default mindset and heart attitude to think that what we're going through, that we're the only ones going through.
Right.
At that time.
Right.
Willison said it's very ordinary for every man in great distress to reckon his case singular because he feels best what is nearest to himself but is a stranger to what his neighbor feels. But Willison goes on to say, but whatever your case be, you must own your sufferings are not as great as your sins. Hello. Man, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Willison says, whatever your circumstance, whatever your trial, whatever your affliction, whatever your adversity, you need to remind yourself that your sufferings are not as great as your sins. Willison closes with this. If our provoked judge, that is God, judges capital J, if our provoked judge shall, in his clemency, send us into Babylon instead of hell, we have no cause to complain. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Willison says, if our provoked judge shall, in his clemency, send us into Babylon instead of hell, we have no cause to complain. Oh, incredible. Anyway, that was John Willison from the book Selections from Spurgeon's Library. I want to augment those words from John Willison with these words from John Calvin. Quote, Calvin says this, quote, the believing heart does not haphazardly forge for itself some kind of God. Rather, it looks to him who is the true and only God. It does not ascribe to him whatever qualities it pleases, but is content to take him as he shows himself to be. It is always careful not to depart from God's will through headstrong pride. Knowing him thus and understanding that he governs all things by his providence, it confidently accepts him as guardian and protector, and therefore entrusts itself to his keeping, since it knows him to be the author of all that is good. If beset by pressing need, it at once falls back on him for help, and after calling on him by name, it awaits his aid. For it is persuaded that he is both generous and kind. It relies with assurance on his compassion, never doubting that for every distress, there will be a remedy furnished by his mercy.
Amen.
Unquote.
Amen.
Comments on that section there?
Well, yeah. I thought that was great, the comparison Babylon instead of hell. I mean, you think about in the days of Jeremiah, a lot of people weren't going to go, you know, and they stayed back and died. Let's put it that way. But they were marched off to Babylon, and God prospered them by why they were in Babylon. What is
right.
The difference? The disobedient stayed, you know. Some of the disobedient people stayed and were killed. So, marched off to Babylon, but it's better than hell.
Well, look at the Christians in China, right? That's
mm-hmm.
their Babylon.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Their home country, but it's a Babylon. America's becoming a Babylon. We're going
yep.
into captivity right here without having to leave the
yep.
country. We're going into captivity.
That's
God's
right.
judgment. So
yep.
judgment, you know, temporary judgment is better than eternal judgment.
Eternal judgment. Yeah, that's a good point.
Which is what
yep.
the author was saying, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so America's in decline, and
mm-hmm.
We will suffer for that. And, you
yep.
know, America was on top for so long. Now America's in decline because of her sins. And
yeah.
So what's better, that judgment or the eternal judgment of hell?
Correct. Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is.
A suitcase or no need for clothes.
Right, right. Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's, I thought that was fantastic. What was said there. I'm sure you have half these.
Well, no, I don't have that particular book from Spurgeon's library. I have a lot of things from Spurgeon, but that particular book I don't have. But
that's me.
Look, it's this guy, the guy who did the orphanages, George Mueller, right?
Mm-hmm.
He paid everything in.
Yeah.
Every penny. And there were many days when there was no milk for the kids and no bread, and, you know, lunchtime was coming around, and what are we going to do, Mr. Mueller? The kids are hungry, and what are we going to do? And then the baker's wagon, the wheel breaks right in front of the orphanage, and he says to Mr. Mueller, I'm not going to be able to make my deliveries, and this bread is going to go bad. Take all this bread and take it inside and feed the kids. You see? So,
that,
you know.
Yeah. Remember when they were crossing the Red Sea and in the chariot the wheels broke?
Yeah.
They were being chased.
Sure.
You know,
mm-hmm.
the wheels broke. That's
right.
The God we serve right there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of God we serve. I mean, with Mueller there, that was such a strong faith. To literally believe God for everything.
Correct.
Every mortal thing. That's amazing
mm-hmm.
to me. That's amazing.
That's it. And we got to, again, that's what trusting in God is. Going down to the wire, you got 10 minutes before closing, and then God provides
mm-hmm.
the money for the closing.
Yep.
You know.
That's it.
So. Reverend F.C. Barnes said, Jesus is the slowest man never to arrive late.
That's correct.
And that's
correct.
God. You know, we're God, where are you? God, where are you? Time's running out, and he shows up. He shows up. How many times have I been there, right? And he shows up.
Yep.
So that's the Lord that we serve.
Yeah,
all
Lazarus
right,
is
more.
A good example of that.
Yeah.
They thought he was late. No, he made it.
To the glory of God, right?
Yep.
Jesus said, this
That's
is
right.
for the glory of God.
Yes.
So, all right, we have a few minutes.
Okay.
Let's see how much we can squeeze in here.
Okay.
That was John Calvin. Thoughts on Omaha. Couple things, man. I want to go back to the quote that you delivered from John Willison, and I'll start with the last of it and then go back to the first part. The last part of it said, but whatever your case may be, you must own your sufferings are as not as great as your sins, right? You must own your sufferings are not as great as your sins. We've got to think that whatever we suffer is nothing compared to the magnitude of our sinfulness to a sovereign holy God. And the second part of that sentence, he says, if our provoked judge, and you rightly stated that's a capital J, meaning the judge being the Lord, if our provoked judge shall in his clemency send us into Babylon instead of hell, we have no cause to complain. Bro, first of all, the statement in and of itself is powerful, but if you think about its proper application, what that is saying is if we're sent into slavery, instead of hell.
Did you actually go there, bro?
I had to, man. That's what's meant by Babylon, right?
Go further, bro.
that's what's meant by Babylon. If we're sent into
that's exactly what's meant right there.
Absolutely right. So if we're sent into slavery, so for us as Black Americans sent into slavery, as horrifying as that is, if God in His clemency sends us into slavery instead of hell, we have no cause to complain. If the enslavement of those of our ancestors in Africa who were animists were enslaved and brought to America for the wrong purposes, based upon the wrong means and the evilness of men, that we would come to know Christ, we have no cause to complain.
Man, come on.
That's what's being stated right there. We could do a whole other show on that, but those are the kinds of issues that we're dealing with in our culture. And if we have our mind rightly set on the things of God, we avoid all of the worry, all of the turmoil, all of the angst, all of the anger and rage that we see in our culture. I said two quotes. So let me go back Let me. That was a rant. Let me get back onto my notes, because it just struck me, man. As you unpacked that last part, I just went, oh my gosh. Again, the quote from John Willison where it says, "If in this world, then we must look for tribulation. We must look for tribulation. It is highly necessary for every man to seek direction, how to provide for it, and behave under it, so as he may glorify God, edify others, and attain eternal happiness at last." I mean, those are three things, right? To behave under it. In other words, we seek tribulation. We understand that the nature of the world in which we live is going to provide for us tribulation, even for the believer, and especially in Scripture would say toward the believer in Christ, toward those who follow Christ, tribulation will follow. We have to understand how we can behave under it so as to glorify God, to edify others, and attain eternal happiness at last. There's so much ground, really, I think, in our current culture that we sacrifice. And what I mean by that is those of us who are evangelicals have sacrificed ground to the wealth, health, and prosperity gospel.
We've sacrificed
ground in that regard to the degree that we have no understanding of the words that you're reading right now.
Mm-hmm.
We have no understanding of words that about suffering and about seeking tribulation and understanding how we are to behave under it, because we've seeded that ground. We've bowed the knee to the idea that if we embrace Christianity, then we're going to experience health, wealth, and prosperity. Mm-hmm. That's what mm-hmm. we've done. I think about John.
I would say that those brought up in American evangelical Christianity might have that mm-hmm. view.
Yes.
But for those of us, see, I'm very fortunate, and I'm not bragging here. I'm very fortunate in that when I went to school, I met up with a few professors that were into the Puritans, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where my love affair with England began. And then, you know, I kept going to London to the old bookshops to get. For example, there's a book by Thomas Brooks. He wrote Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices. He has another book called An Ark for All God's Noahs in a Gloomy, Stormy Day. I'm going to read that title again. An Ark, All God's Noahs in a Gloomy and Stormy Day. The passage isn't even based on Genesis 6 or 7 or 8 where you have the story of Noah. It's basically based on Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24.
Right.
And the book of Lamentations, I mean, is Jeremiah's book where he's just lamenting the Babylonian captivity. So
mm-hmm.
if you've been fortunate enough to be exposed to the Puritans who were pastor theologians, they just weren't theologians. They took theology and they made it extremely practical, right?
Yeah.
And they brought it down.
Yep.
So this book, An Ark for All of God's Noahs in a Gloomy and Stormy Day, is a book about how the Christian suffers
mm-hmm.
and how he should go through suffering and come out on the other side. Right? And there are many Puritan writings to that nature. There's another book by John Flavel entitled The Heavenly Conference Between Christ and Mary. Right? If you want to know how Jesus ministers to women, just get yourself a copy of The Heavenly Conference Between Christ and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these guys were just so, people in America who are exposed, to baloney and, you know, the hype and the money and this kind of, but if you're exposed to the writings of the Westminster Confession of Faith, the Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689,
mm-hmm.
if you are bathed in that kind of reformation,
mm-hmm.
then you know you're not a stupid Christian. You know that suffering is part of the Christian life. You just know it. And
right.
By the way, you take a guy like take another Puritan like Hugh Binning.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a little book called Christian Love. The guy died at 26. A Puritan who died at 26.
Right.
I mean, these people lost their – they were married 3 years and they lost their wives because they lived in a day
mm-hmm.
and an age in the 1600s where medicine was no good. You know,
right.
you got a disease and you lost your children. You know, the smallpox, you know, you had three kids, they're all gone. They all died.
Right.
See, today in America, we live in a different age. But when you start reading George Mueller and his manual, you know, when you read his autobiography in the 1800s, as he's picking up these
mm-hmm.
poor kids off the streets of London. And, you know, listen, I mean, this was poverty.
Right.
And this guy, see, when you know about these people, when you read their books, when you read their life, you say, my goodness, this is why American Christianity is trash. It's garbage.
Right.
Right?
It is.
So, yeah.
It is. And I can tell you, I have read and I have books on criminals in England during certain times, you know, when we're talking about maybe Victorian England.
Right.
And those children, they had children who were starving, who stole maybe a loaf of bread and were put in prison at 10 years old. Think about that.
Yeah.
They were put in prison at 10 years old. You had kids in there for that, you know, for stealing bread. It's horrible, the suffering that they went through. I think a lot of our problem is we have too much technology, we have too many things, you know, and we're losing our focus. And I think that's where the Laodicean church comes in.
Right,
you know,
right, right.
I have need of nothing. You know?
Right.
I think we're seeing Laodicea, you know, because they weren't put under that. And you're right about, you know, when I was, my father, my parents wanted me Southern Baptist, in the Southern Baptist
mm-hmm.
church. I did not like it because it scared me. Because they would read the Puritans. That scared me as a kid.
Right, as a kid.
I so appreciate it now, you know, after looking at other things now, I appreciated that it wasn't all hellfire and brimstone.
Mm-hmm,
there was
mm-hmm.
so much wisdom in there.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's a lot of wisdom, and that, you know, the church that I was taken to.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
And, you know, I would say we weren't there often, but we went to the right church.
That's it.
He had us. You know, grounded in that. And now I look back at the people that I may have said, oh, geez, I don't want to, you know, that's too much hellfire and brimstone. Because they preached truth back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never had any expectation of, like, a rapture out of here before anything happened. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Non-tribulation kind of walk with the Lord. I've not
mm-hmm.
had that theology.
Right.
In my life. I have heard the word of faith because we were, you know, surrounded by it.
Sure.
When the television ministers, you know, were out and about and were
They're
making
everywhere.
Their debut.
And
they
were
everywhere.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. But it was only the word of God itself that taught me different, you know, that taught
mm-hmm.
me right from
sure.
wrong. It was the actual word, not anyone telling me, not anybody on the radio or anybody on television preaching against it. For me, it was
getting
into the word of God myself and seeing the
mm-hmm.
air of it. And, you know, I made a lot of mistakes. I went with a lot of things, but, you know, you get to the point that you say, I will not listen to anybody but the Lord about this situation. And I think when you get there, you're in a good place.
Absolutely.
Now, you check up on everybody. You check
Absolutely.
Up on what everyone says and everyone does, and you say, wait a minute, that's wrong. I see that totally different in the Word of God. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, I think you're in a good place. And I think the number one thing said there was it J.C. Ryle that said, you know, the key, I think the key point here is happiness is being independent of this world. That's where your happiness is. You have
right.
a happiness that's independent of this world. No one can take that from you. That kind of happiness, no one can rob you of.
Right. And think about it. Wall Street cannot take your retirement plan because it's in God's hands.
Mm-hmm.
Your local county can't take your house,
mm-hmm.
Your mansion in heaven. They can't do that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right?
So
your residence in heaven and your retirement and all of that is secured away in the Lord. So what are you worried about?
Yep.
What do you,
right.
you know, the Christian has
right.
nothing to worry.
That's
we
right.
stopped it at the 2 hour, 2 minute mark. So that's what we'll come back to next week. 2 hours, 2 minutes.
Okay.
Great show. These guys are fantastic, as always. A great blessing. And maybe next time we get together, you'll find out about those other verses on fear if you've been able to narrow them down. Let's see. Because you did a great job.
I'm going to tell you something. You may have gave me the answer. Because although I had fear of everything, I did not have the fear of Satan.
I'm going
to go look, you know,
mm-hmm.
how many of those
yeah.
actually connect. You know, with exact words, you know.
Right, right.
So I thought, okay, I got to find those 28, but I can't do it with the computer I have, what my computer's doing right now until I figure out how to change that program of
correct,
how
correct.
To get more downloaded. But, yeah,
mm-hmm,
it was
mm-hmm.
it kind of gives us an overview of what people fear, I think.
Sure.
You know, without going in depth with 900 and some scriptures talking about each one. But if you go through, you see, you know, how much fear there is out there. And there's a lot of this is sinful fear. The fear
Absolutely.
Of God is not.
Absolutely. Well, you have the last word, my sister.
Well, I think I just did. So I would say have a wonderful week. Stay safe and listen, you're going to get up tomorrow and the birds are going to sing. The animals are going to be making a mess in the house, robbing food, the outdoor animals, the birds will sing. So, you know, just don't be fearful. Don't have unnecessary fear. Have a wonderful day, brothers and sisters. We'll see you next week. Bye.
From Emmanuel's name. name and shame.